Well, our scripture reading this morning is found in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4. Mark, chapter 4. All right, out of respect for the Word of God, let's stand together as I begin reading there with verse 35. Verse 35. And the same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?
On our anniversary Sunday, there's only one name to discuss, and that is the name we've endeavored to lift up in this community for 16 years, and that is the precious name of Jesus Christ. There is a name I love to hear, I love to sing its worth. It sounds like music in my ears, the sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because He first loved me. In our text this morning, something happened that amazed even the disciples almost beyond words. Though it was still early in His earthly ministry, they had already seen Him perform many miracles. They had seen an entire city gather around the house, carrying their sick and dying, and had watched Jesus heal countless people of diverse diseases and infirmities. They had seen Jesus cast out devils. They had seen Jesus touch a leper and seen that man healed so that his skin became like a newborn baby. They had seen Jesus heal the crippled. They had seen people healed simply by touching Jesus as He passed through the crowd. They had seen vast multitudes hang upon His every word, and even demon-possessed men fell down and declared that He was the Son of God. All of these things can be found in the first four chapters of the Gospel of Mark. And yet we find in chapter 4, verse 41, the disciples feared exceedingly. And they said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey Him? Now in this passage, Jesus and His disciples were by and then in the Sea of Galilee. This was home to Peter, Andrew, James, and John. They had grown up there. They graduated from Galilee High School. These were men who had lived on this sea and in this community all their life. And these four men in particular had owned their own fishing businesses and had worked the Sea of Galilee as adult men for a living for many years. The Sea of Galilee is a beautiful area. If you picture the land of Israel as a desert, you'd be mistaken. In the south, it's desert, but in the north, in the land of Galilee, it's a land of green pastures and green hills and low mountains and beautiful lakes. And the Sea of Galilee is the center of it all. It's a freshwater sea. It's at the lowest. It's the lowest freshwater sea on earth. Only the Dead Sea is lower than the Sea of Galilee. Now, in the grand scheme of things, it's not the most beautiful place on earth. It's not as beautiful as Lake Tahoe. It's not even nearly as big. It's only roughly twice the size of Lake Ray Hubbard or Lake Levan. It is not known as the most picturesque and gorgeous area to visit, although it is a very beautiful area. But what makes that area of the earth so special is that Jesus spent so much of His time there, that He had visited all those little villages that surrounded the Sea of Galilee and had done so many miracles on its banks and had preached the Sermon on the Mount on a hill overlooking the Sea of Galilee, and it had even walked upon the water of the sea one stormy night. Now, the geography of the Sea of Galilee can cause tremendous windstorms that turn calm water into a very dangerous place to be, especially at night. A storm in the Sea of Galilee might not compare to one in the Atlantic Ocean, but when waves can reach 8 or 9 feet tall and you're in a small wooden boat, I think you'd be concerned, amen? Especially in the middle of the night. And here, this storm hit them suddenly as they're out in the middle of the sea. And the seasoned fishermen on board knew that they were in trouble. In Luke's Gospel, it says they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. Now, in my mind's eye, I picture Peter, the old fisherman, taking charge. Peter always took charge, whether he should have or not. But I can see Peter taking charge there in the darkness. He says, all right, everyone, start bailing water. And they got their hats off and they're bailing water out and they're using their coats to scoop water out. And still, the waves are crashing in and perhaps the rain is falling and the ship is filling up. And Peter's saying, bail it out, bail it out, bail it out. And then after a few minutes, it's like, Andrew, are you still bailing water? Oh, yeah. Thomas, quit doubting and start bailing. And Matthew, are you doing anything? Yes, I am. I'm bailing as fast as I can. Where's Jesus? I don't see Jesus. Andrew's like, I don't see him either. Where's Jesus in the middle of our trouble? And so I can kind of see Peter clambering over some fishing tackle and over the gear that was in the ship and climbing to the very back in the darkness and trying to find Jesus, wondering perhaps maybe if he even fell overboard. And he finally gets back to the back of the ship and there's a little cushion area and one pillow, and there Jesus is. He's exhausted from his endeavors of ministering throughout the day, and he's asleep, sleeping like a baby in the middle of the storm. And here Peter's been trying to save the ship, and man, he's been having everyone throwing water out, and he finds Jesus, and he wakes Jesus up roughly and says, Master, carest thou not that we perish? How can you sleep at a time like this? Don't you understand that the ship is filling up and we're about to go under? And Jesus simply stood up and looked out at the storm, said, peace, be still. And all of a sudden the water went, whew, and the wind that was howling suddenly, whew, stopped. And the ship that had been tossing to and fro on those 6, 7, 8 foot waves was suddenly lying in the calmest waters. And Jesus looked, can you imagine these men, soaked, bedraggled? They're looking up at Jesus. Peace, be still. Why did you doubt? Oh, ye of little faith. You see, it's a wonderful story. I want to point out 4 truths for us this morning concerning this. Notice first the importance of having Jesus on board. The importance of having Jesus on board. Only Jesus can make the difference in the storm. Without Jesus, they would have gone to the bottom and that would have been it. They tried everything, but everything they tried was in vain. Without Him, they had no hope. These were men that knew their craft. These were men that knew their business. These were men that were good at what they did. But it was not going to be enough. These were men that were used to doing things in their own power. But in their own power, they were futile against the storm. They tried everything, but what they could do was never going to be enough in this crisis situation. Now, those who know me know that I respect individualistic people. I admire people and I respect those who take pride in what they do, who stand on their own 2 feet, who take responsibility for their own lives, their own families, who don't look to the government to provide for them, who don't live off a charity, and who don't live off of others because they're unwilling to work. But I respect those who go without, who live within their means, and who strive to be individuals, strong, take care of their responsibility type of people. But sooner or later, there's going to be things in our life that we cannot handle. And we need Jesus in our lives. But I know folks, I mean, they're strong and I respect them. And they have worked hard and they've paid their bills. And they say, I'll just face life on my own and I'll do everything in my own power. And I don't need anyone. I don't even need God. Well, brother, you may not need anyone down here, but we need God. We need Him. We need Jesus on board, because sooner or later, there's going to be some storms that you cannot handle. There's going to be some issues that you cannot deal with. There's going to be some problems for which you have no solution. It's important to have Jesus on board. I don't know how folks live without the Lord in their lives, but usually it's not very well. Behind closed doors, behind closed hearts, there's usually a lot of sorrow and pain and unhappiness masquerading behind positive Facebook imagery and a smile at work, but at home and in behind closed doors and inside the heart of man, there's often a lot of loneliness and sorrow and sadness and fear and inability. I was not happy before I got saved. I'm infinitely more happy now than I was on my best day before I got saved. My parents were not saved when I was a kid, and I know that now they are infinitely happier in their life than they were before they got saved. And they got saved in their 40s, older than I am now. Years ago, there was a great tragedy that happened in our family. Details are not important, but my dad had not been saved but a couple of years. I was out of town. I called my dad and I said, "Dad, do you need me to, want me to come home and help you?" My dad said, "No, son, that's fine. My faith is strong. God will see me through." He never said stuff like that when I was a kid. When we were lost and he was trying to face everything for himself, my dad kept Rolaids in his pocket 24, I mean, unless he was in bed. I mean, all day, Rolaid, pop, 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 heartburn, indigestion, holding it all on the inside, trying to face life, trying to deal with problems, trying to deal with a drug-addicted son, trying to deal with a son that was going in and out of jail, and all these problems in life, constantly trying to, and many times he would go home and just go to bed sick to his stomach. He never faced it with God, but after he got saved, he learned that God was with him, and God would help him, and God would give him peace, and God would give him strength, and he faced one of the greatest problems he'd ever faced in his life with a calm and peaceful spirit, because he knew God was going to be with him through the storm. It's good to have Jesus on board. I've seen hopeless people at funerals. I've seen folks that had no hope when they're putting a loved one in the grave. No hope of ever seeing them again. Folks, that's no way to live. A pastor friend of mine told me that he did a funeral one time, preached a funeral. A man was in the casket, and his son tried to climb up in the casket. A grown man tried to climb up in the casket. He was so broken down in grief. Tried to climb in the casket to hug on his dad one more time. Just so overwhelmed with no hope. Oh, listen, there's going to come some storms. Hey, everything's fine in nice weather, and we can go in our boat and go wherever we're going and deal with things. But brother, when the storm comes and problems come and issues come that you have no solution for, it is good to know that Jesus is in the boat and you can go to Him and ask for His help. And in a moment, He can stand and say, "Peace, be still," and it's taken care of. It's good to have Jesus on board. How do you face storms without Jesus on board? Why do you want to face storms without Jesus on board? Someone said to me one time, "Well, your religion is just a crutch." I said, "Well, I'm just a broken down person. I need someone." But David never called God his crutch, but he did call Him his ally. He did call Him his refuge. He did call Him his protector and his deliverer. And he said, "He's my ever-present help in times of trouble." And that's the same God that I have. I'll tell you this, that when it comes to salvation and comes to heaven or hell, it's vital to have Jesus on board. You know what religion does? Religion says, "Keep bailing water." That's all it can ever say to you. Just keep bailing out and hope for the best. Oh, but Jesus can turn it all calm again. Amen? That's the difference between Jesus and religion. The second thought is this, that following Jesus doesn't always mean smooth sailing. Following Jesus does not always mean smooth sailing. It's a wonderful thing to follow Jesus in calm weather. Well, you read Mark chapter 4 and you find that Jesus had taught His disciples some amazing parables, wonderful little stories illustrating scriptural truth about the sower and about the mustard seed faith. And boy, it was so interesting. And I can just see as they got in the boat that night, maybe John said, "Man, that was amazing. That was such a great sermon today. And it's such a beautiful night. And the stars are out. And now we get to go on a boat ride. Isn't this great? The Christian life is awesome." Right? And about an hour later, they're bailing water thinking they're about to drown. And sometimes in the Christian life, boy, a person gets saved, and it's all exciting, and they get their new Bible, and they're learning the new music, and they're hearing preaching for the first time, they're hearing my corny jokes for the first time, and it's just great. And man, I can't wait to go to church, and making new friends, and it's all so new and fresh, and it's like a beautiful starlit night and a nice cruise in a nice boat. But then all of a sudden, storms come, jobs are lost, health is broken, problems come, issues arise. But listen, the same Jesus that taught you on the peaceful shores of Galilee is the same Jesus as in the boat when the storms come. And He never promised us that the Christian life would mean smooth sailing all the time. Sometimes there's going to be rough waters, and sometimes we have to endure hardness as good soldiers of Jesus Christ. I want to point out thirdly, that sometimes good Christians get scared in the storm. His disciples came to Him and awake Him saying, Lord, save us, we perish. Now the disciples were not bad followers of Jesus, they just got scared in the storm. Frankly, it surprised them. Now, maybe if they'd gotten up that morning and turned into Weather Channel 8 and looked at Pete Delkus online and knew that there was a 60% chance of a windstorm that night, then they might have thought ahead when they got on the boat, you know, there's a chance of rain, but if it does come or if the storm comes, we'll be ready. But they didn't have a weather report. It surprised them. And sometimes life just surprises us. There's no report. And frankly, let's just be honest, sometimes we just don't react well. We can look back a day later and say, man, I should have done this. But when it just hits us out of nowhere, and we don't always react exactly how we should. Well, you're in good company because neither did Peter, Andrew, John, James, Thomas, or any of the other apostles whose names you can't ever remember. They all were afraid and they all thought they were going to die because it came out of nowhere and it surprised them. And sometimes life does not give us an advanced warning. There's no sonar that can tell us. There's no Doppler 8 that can tell us. All we know is all of a sudden things were fine and now they're not. And fear can paralyze us. Fear can trouble us. But they did go to Jesus and find the solution. Number four is only Jesus can still the storm. Are you tired of trying to bail water and it doesn't seem to be working? You know, there's someone who's waiting to be invited into the problem. There is. So why isn't He helping me without being asked? I don't know. God likes to be asked. Why don't you ask Him? You see, Jesus was asleep in the storm. Because storms don't disturb Jesus. They don't. I heard a preacher say that he's preaching on this passage and said, that was the Son of God in that ship. If that ship had gone under, God would have turned it into a submarine. He wasn't going to let His Son die in that boat. There was no real danger. It's like being on a roller coaster sometimes. You know, roller coaster, there actually is some after they've had a few people die lately on them. But hey, go ahead and keep riding them. And I'll watch from the side. You get on that roller coaster and it's so scary. Ah, I'm going to fly off and die. No, you're not. You're being held in. You're fine. And that's how the disciples were. And hey, Romans 8:28 is still in the book. God's still in control. But I'm scared. Well, then take it to Jesus. Only Jesus can still the storm. When I have storms and trials and hardships, I have found that it's best to go to the back of the ship and get on my knees. I'm not going to accuse Him of not caring for me. I'm simply going to ask Him to get involved. And sometimes He just solves the problem. Sometimes He just gives me peace to handle the problem. But I've never yet had Him disappoint me during a time of trouble.